Welcome back, everybody, to The Deep Dive. All right, so today we're diving into a case that's all about what happens when you get arrested near your car.
Yeah, you mean like if the police can search your car just because they arrested you for something?
Exactly. That's the question the Supreme Court tackled in Arizona v. Gantt back in 2008.
Big one, too, because like it really gets at that whole balance between police power and individual rights, you know?
For sure, and it looks like we've got quite a few opinions to unpack on this one.
Oh, yeah. The majority opinion... a dissent, even a concurrence.
So we know right off the bat, this is a tough one.
Absolutely.
Even the justices couldn't quite agree.
Nope.
But before we get into all those legal arguments, let's start with the story of Rodney Gantt. Like, how did this whole thing end up at the Supreme Court?
Yeah, let's set the scene. It's 1999, Tucson, Arizona. Mm-hmm. Rodney Gantt pulls into a driveway. Turns out the police are already there arresting a couple of other people.
Okay, so Gantt gets out of his car. Mm-hmm. An officer recognizes him. And arrests him for driving with a suspended license.
Yeah, pretty common traffic violation.
Seems routine, right?
Totally. But here's the thing. After they put Gantt in the back of a squad car, they search his vehicle.
Oh, so they already arrested him.
Handcuffed and everything.
Wow.
And guess what they find?
What?
A gun and a bag of cocaine.
No way. So it started as a suspended license and then boom.
Yeah, so Gantt's lawyer is like, hold on, this search violated his Fourth Amendment rights. You know, the one protecting us from unreasonable searches.
Right, right, of course. So how did the Supreme Court even approach this?
Well, they had to figure out if this search was legal or if it crossed that constitutional line. And to do that, we got to go back in time again.
Oh, boy. A history lesson.
Yeah, kind of. We got to look at two earlier cases that set the stage for Gantt. Chimel v. California and New York v. Belton.
Okay, so these cases are like the foundation.
Exactly, like building blocks.
So what was Chimel all about?
Well, Chimel basically created the arm's reach rule. It says when someone's arrested, police can search them and the area within their immediate control, you know, to prevent them from grabbing a weapon or destroying evidence.
Makes sense. Like they can check your pockets, but not your whole house.
Exactly. But then came Belton, and that one's key for this. It took that arm's reach rule and said, okay, what about vehicles?
Mm. Yeah. How do you apply that to a car?
Right. Well, the court in Belton basically said the entire passenger compartment of a car is considered within reach of the person arrested.
So they expanded the scope.
Big time.
So basically under Belton, the whole car becomes fair game if you get arrested near it.
Pretty much. And that's where Justice Stevens and the majority in Gantt had a problem. They felt like Belton was being used way too broadly.
Yeah, I can see that. Suddenly, police have almost unlimited power to search cars for any little thing.
Right. Like, what about minor traffic stops? That's a huge privacy concern. And that's what the majority in Gantt really focused on, trying to rein in that police power.
So for them, it was about protecting people's privacy.
Absolutely. Especially in those routine situations like Gantt's suspended license.
Okay, so how did the Gantt decision actually change things?
Well, they put some limits on that Belton rule. They said the police can only search a car after an arrest if the person is still within reach of the compartment, like if they could actually grab something, or if the police have reason to believe the car contains evidence of the crime.
So not just any evidence.
Nope, has to be evidence of the specific crime they were arrested for.
Interesting. So they really narrowed it down.
They did. Tried to connect the search to a legitimate purpose.
Sounds like a big change from Belton.
It was. But of course, not everyone on the Supreme Court was happy about this new interpretation. And that's where Justice Alito's dissent comes in.
Okay, so Arizona v. Gantt put some limits on these automatic car searches. But did it actually change how things work out on the streets? Like, it's one thing to have a Supreme Court ruling, but another to see it in action.
Yeah, that's the question, isn't it? And it gets tricky because the Gantt ruling doesn't give you a step-by-step guide for every situation. It sets a framework, but there's room for interpretation, so you see variations in how it's applied.
So it's not like a simple on-off switch for police searches?
Nope, not at all.
So what are some of the challenges officers face trying to apply this Gantt standard out in the field?
Well, think about it from their perspective. You've made an arrest. Now you got to make a split-second decision. Is this person still within reach of the car? Do I have a good reason to believe there's evidence related to this specific arrest in there? These are tough calls, especially when things are tense.
Yeah, I can see that. It's not always black and white.
Right. And then there's the whole issue of evidence suppression. If a court decides a search was illegal under Gantt, any evidence they found gets thrown out. That can be a huge problem for a case.
Wow, so the stakes are high on both sides.
Definitely. You're trying to protect individual rights, but you also want law enforcement to be effective.
Yeah, it's a tough balance.
It is. And it's not just about Gaunt by itself. There are other court decisions, state laws, police department policies, all mixed in.
So it's like this whole web of legal stuff.
Exactly.
So even though it's a landmark case, there's still this gray area when it comes to applying it.
Absolutely. Gaunt didn't solve every issue with vehicle searches. Legal experts are still arguing about the finer points. New situations pop up all the time.
Which is why this case is still relevant today.
For sure. And speaking of things worth talking about, Justice Scalia's take on this whole search issue was pretty interesting. He wasn't buying that officer safety argument that had been used to justify searches. He had a very specific solution in mind. Some might even call it radical.
Yeah, Scalia was never one to shy away from a strong opinion. So what was his take on vehicle searches?
He basically said, let's cut to the chase. The only time a vehicle search should be allowed after an arrest is if they're looking for evidence of that specific crime. No searching for other stuff, no fishing expeditions.
Wow, he drew a hard line there.
He did. It's like he was saying, forget about reaching distance or what's in the passenger compartment. Just focus on the crime at hand.
So he was pushing for a much more targeted approach, really trying to find that balance between law enforcement and individual liberties.
Exactly. Scalia argued that making sure the arrestee is secure, that's what really keeps officers safe, not automatically searching their car. He saw that officer safety justification as a bit of a loophole.
I see. So did his opinion actually have any impact on how other courts have been interpreting Gaunt?
It's hard to say for sure. His wasn't the majority opinion, but it definitely added to the conversation. Some courts have actually cited his reasoning in their decisions, emphasizing that strong connection between the search and the arrest.
Oh, even a concurring opinion can make a difference.
Oh, yeah. These opinions, even the dissenting ones, they shape legal decisions for years to come.
It's fascinating how it all works.
It is. You know, Arizona v. Gaunt might have started with a simple question. When can you search a car after an arrest? But the answers, not so simple. This case brings up all these big questions about police power. What's a reasonable search? That tension between security and freedom.
It really makes you think about how these aren't just abstract legal concepts. They affect everyone who drives.
Absolutely. Arizona v. Gaunt reminds us that our rights are constantly being debated and redefined, and it shows why it's so important to stay informed, because these legal issues, they can have a direct impact on our lives.
Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground with Gaunt, but I'm curious about specific examples. Like, how has this case played out in real life? What does it mean for me if I'm ever pulled over?
Yeah, let's get into that in part three. We'll look at some scenarios where Gaunt comes into play and what it could mean for your next encounter with law enforcement.
Welcome back to the Deep Dive. We've been talking all about Arizona v. Gaunt, that Supreme Court case that really shook things up when it comes to police searching your car after an arrest.
Definitely made things a bit more complicated, which is why it's so important to understand how it works in real life, you know, not just in theory.
Exactly. So can you give us some examples of how Gaunt has been applied in different situations?
Absolutely. One area where we see a lot of legal back and forth is DUI arrests. Before Gaunt, it was pretty common for police to search a car after a DUI arrest, you know, figuring they might find open containers or drugs.
Makes sense. But Gaunt changed that, right?
Yeah, it did. Now officers need more than just a hunch. They need a real connection between the DUI arrest and what they're looking for in the car.
So, like, what kind of connection?
Well, say someone's arrested for DUI and the officer smells marijuana. That could justify a search for drugs.
Okay, so the search has to be related to the specific arrest.
Exactly. Another interesting one is when someone's arrested for something totally unrelated to driving, but their car is nearby.
Okay, I'm following you.
Like, say someone's arrested for shoplifting and their car is parked in the store's parking lot.
So can the police just search the car because they were arrested near it?
Nope. Gaunt says just being near a car isn't enough. They'd have to show the person could still access the car, or that they have probable cause to believe it contains evidence of the shoplifting.
Interesting. So no more automatic searches just because your car is in the same parking lot? That seems like a good thing for protecting people's privacy. But I bet these cases get really messy in court, huh?
Oh, yeah. Lawyers arguing about what counts as probable cause or within reaching distance, it gets pretty nuanced.
So much gray area.
That's why it's so important to know your rights. Understand how Gaunt might apply to you.
Okay, so let's say I find myself in a situation where I get arrested and the police want to search my car. What should I do?
First, stay calm and be polite. You have the right to remain silent and to ask for a lawyer. If you think a search is unlawful, you can politely and respectfully say you don't consent.
But just saying no doesn't mean they have to stop, right?
No, but it's about protecting yourself if you challenge the case later on.
Okay, so it's more about preserving your rights for the future.
Exactly.
It sounds like Gaunt is just one piece of a much bigger puzzle.
It is. There are other things that matter, like if you consent to a search, if there's an emergency situation, even how technology changes our expectations of privacy.
So much to consider.
It's a lot. Yeah. Definitely not something you want to figure out during a traffic stop.
Right. Best to know your rights ahead of time.
And if you're ever unsure, get a lawyer involved.
Solid advice. Well, we've covered a lot in this deep dive into Arizona v. Gant. Hopefully everyone listening has a better understanding of this landmark case and how it could affect them.
Absolutely. It's a reminder that our rights are important and we have to actively protect them.
Great point. Well, that wraps up another episode of The Deep Dive.
Until next time, keep learning, keep asking questions, and always stand up for your freedoms.
Well said. We'll catch you all next time, ready to explore another fascinating topic.
Until then, stay curious.